This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
If you haven't ever been, festival opera can be pretty amazing. By anyone's definition, it's pretty much over the top.
I really beg your pardon, Nick. You're doing a really good job. But as the executive producer of The Informer, I would like you to read this through in the spirit of opera. Okay? All right?
Okay.
Big sets, big sounds, big emotions. It's not subtle.
Just a tiny bit, but that's closer.
Turn it down. People travel from around the world to see their favourite actors.
Maybe a bit singy. Around the world.
To see their favourite actors, composers, conductors, what have you. Sounds like the Real Housewives of Surrey Hills, yeah? Like the Real Housewives. Festival opera is so much fun and often a guilty pleasure. Here in Melbourne, Gertrude Opera is putting on Australia's only international opera festival later this month. It looks to be a pretty amazing event. Arian Potts spoke to Linda Thompson from Gertrude Opera and Evan Lawson, one of the conductors at this year's festival.
Festival opera is unlike anything else. There is a degree of celebration that's not necessarily felt when opera is held in a theatre, although we do put up an enormous marquee, fully enclosed, with raked seating and a theatre, so it's like going into a theatre, but you're entering via a paddock. So it's quite a different feel. And festival opera allows us to take chances and be a bit more adventurous with the repertoire. We perform everything in English. We have three headline operas, The Enchanted Pig, and Poppea and Macbeth. Poppea is definitely adults only. There's lots of gore and sexual antics on stage, so it is that comes with a warning. Macbeth is as bloody as everyone knows it, but nearly as confronting as Poppea. And The Enchanted Pig is a sophisticated fantasy and appeals to adults as much as children. We like to refer to it as the opera version of The Princess Bride. It's got real heart and it's magical. Company's been going for 10 years and we did a couple of weekend festivals, mini festivals, and then last year started the Yarra Valley Opera Festival with being the Australian International Opera Festival in mind. So we have put all our resources and called on many favours and lots of goodwill, and there's that spirit of goodwill underneath the festival. It's also makes it an added joy to be part of it, whether you're in it or as part of an audience member.
Why are you passionate about opera?
Well, being Australian from what I'd call just a normal suburban childhood, I had nothing to do with opera. I mean, I would hear it on the radio or an advertisement, but it was not part of my family life. But I found that it was the type of music that I was drawn to sing. And through that, my family, who had no interest in opera, became opera groupies watching me. And I've seen how having that personal contact with an art form that is unashamedly elite. It takes so much work. It can inspire and move and affect anybody, no matter what their background. And so that's the basis for the festival being sung in English. Our productions are appealing and imaginative, and there's no need for anybody to have any background. So we're trying to create a base for young singers from all over the world to have a future in the profession that they've chosen by encouraging new audiences.
How do you take something with such old themes and make it relevant to today's audience?
Yeah, it's a great question, and sort of the overarching around presenting this show. So it was written around 1640, and Monteverdi is sort of credited as being the first a person to really establish opera as an art form. So it's kind of interesting to take that 500 years later and trying to sort of navigate through that for contemporary audiences. And there's sort of interesting tropes, like the role of Nero, which in our production is sung by a man, traditionally would have been sung by a woman, or by a castrati, so a man who has been castrated with a higher range. So there's a lot of challenges in the score in making it contemporary, both musically but also obviously socially. You know, it's set in the Roman Empire, but it is about it's presented in 17th century morals. So we really have to rethink, how do you make this relevant and navigate that for a contemporary audience? From a musical perspective, we're using a more contemporary revision, I guess is a good word of saying, of the score. So there's certain tropes and musical ideas that are very much a part of a work of this tradition, and we're really trying to kind of navigate our way into bringing, including that tradition, but really providing a contemporary vision on that. So generally the orchestra would include traditional Baroque instruments, but we're using more contemporary instruments as one sort of example of that. Oh, it's very rich, and it's kind of covers a huge variety of operatic themes: love, lust, politics. But I think for me at the heart of it is this kind of the political intrigue of these characters, and it really goes into that fascinating period of Roman history where, you know, unlike, similar to today, but maybe not literally, people were stabbing each other in the back to get their jobs and to elevate themselves in society. So, and then added to that is the fact that you have a lot of these strong women behind the scenes and sort of the machinations that are going on behind the scenes of this opera. So it's a really saucy, sordid, but also really, really beautiful at times. Yeah.
What makes this production and the festival different than, you know, your stereotypical Wagnerian opera?
One of the main factors is that it is a smaller production. We don't have, you know, huge choruses and a huge orchestra, so it's a much more intimate experience, which personally I find more satisfying as an audience member and as a musician. You really are working together in as a small group to create a really delicate performance environment, as opposed to going to a giant theatre, which of course is an amazing experience with a huge orchestra and a huge chorus and so forth. But this is a great opportunity to really see the expression on singers' faces, to see the expression on musicians' faces, to really breathe and hear the opera that's going on. So that's a huge part of it. I think also the fact that it's taking place in the Yarra Valley is really exciting, and, you know, it's a beautiful part of the world and a great, like, I'm excited just to be able to go away for the weekend and perform music in the countryside. So it's a great opportunity to invest in music especially if you're not used to going to the opera. It's a great way to come and see. Most of the shows are reasonably short as well. We're using kind of more abridged versions of the operas as well, so you're not like sitting there for 3 hours like the original Poppea would have gone for, where ours is about an hour long.
And are you singing in Italian?
No, it'll be in English. All of the shows are in English. So that also, again, is another interesting challenge, because as you can imagine, a lot of the translations, especially Poppea being 500-year-old English, is quite interesting. So yeah, no, definitely in English.
What appeals to you about opera? It's a kind of, you know, some people call it a heritage art form, and sometimes it's difficult to see its relevance today. What speaks to you about it?
Absolutely. Operas as well, so I'm a creator, not just of as a conductor but as a composer, so I'm producing new opera. So it's a very important part of my practice, is basically trying to make opera cool. How do you make it relevant and speak to contemporary society? And it does that anyway, but I think sort of the great challenge is educating people and making them feel comfortable enough to understand that these tropes and ideas, you don't necessarily need to have a pre preconceived notion of what they mean and are. Like, you can go and absorb them just as much as you can go and see a painting from the same period and have a visceral reaction. And that's also not to say that your reaction isn't necessarily going to be positive all the time, you know. But, you know, opera is a very difficult art form for some people to first get into, but I feel that it is it's universal, and part of that is that it's theatre, it's visual art, and it's drama and music, which is like, who doesn't love those four things brought together in one way? So that's what draws me to opera.
Yarravelli Opera Festival starts on the 18th of October and continues until the 27th. Tickets are available at yarravelioperafestival.com.au. Thanks to our team, Yunfei Wang, assistant producer Ariane Potts, executive producer Toby Halligan, our lovely sponsors at KHQ Lawyers, the Community Broadcasting Fund, and everyone at Joy 94.9. This has been The Informer. I'm Nicholas Comenius Andrew.
I'm Nicholas Hines, and stay with us now for Trans POV.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.